You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 207 for October 6th, 2016.
Welcome back to the running conversation. It's October, so for us, that means a focus on the Chicago Marathon, which is going to be in a couple days.
Yeah.
At least at the time we're recording this.
Right around the corner.
So we'll kind of, today's plan is to kind of catch up on what's going on with us, obviously, from this past week. Kind of maybe share what our plans are for Chicago this coming weekend, and then a little bit of news stories. We'll get into some feedback. Not too much today. We're going to try to make it a quick episode. And then next week, we'll be back from Chicago, hopefully safe and sound, with a good race recap and kind of share our adventures and see how it went. So let's jump straight away into it. Catch up on our weekend training. I'm actually going to go first, a little bit different. Changing things up. There's actually a reason for that. Haven't done any running in the past week. So I unfortunately had the bad luck of catching a cold, which you may be able to tell from the sound of my voice, because I don't think my voice sounds very well at all. We were actually going to record this 2 days ago, and I said, no, let's wait till tomorrow, see if I get a little bit better. And I didn't. Okay, wait till tomorrow, see if I get a little better. And just ended up today, okay, let's just record, because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring either. So, so that's my story. I'm basically caught a cold, really bad luck, because the marathon's in 3 days. So I have 2 full days left between now and the marathon to see if I hopefully will feel any better. I'm just a common cold, but it's been one that's kind of been just dragging its feet and not progressing very fast, and definitely not the worst cold I've had or anything like that. But I don't know what else to say about that. So
just not something you want to be dealing with a couple days before a marathon.
No, not at all. Kind of bad luck. So I guess, well, I still have a voice, so I might lose my voice by the end of this, but we'll see. I guess I'll share some of my plans for Chicago, which basically became meaningless because of the fact that I'm sick. So I'm just going to go and kind of tail the start line and just see what happens. So I'm pretty sure I'm not going to skip out on the race or anything. I think it would take me being much, much sicker than what I am to not attempt the race. But I think any type of time goals or plans are kind of out the window. I'm expecting to be pretty sluggish at the start because I haven't run in a week. And at this point in time, I don't think it's going to do me any good to run a couple miles. I know some people tend to feel better when they run a couple miles when they're sick. I'm just trying to rest up and see how that goes, although I guess it hasn't been working great so far. So no time goals, no plans. Just go out there and hope to finish. It's not going to be the race that I thought it would be. I think I'm equally as bummed just because I was super looking forward to just the weekend in Chicago. And we got some friends we're going to meet up with and kind of just kind of bounce around Chicago and try to do some fun stuff while we're there and just enjoy the weekend in addition to the race. Mm-hmm. And so still going to do that, but I'll probably be in less of a good mood.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. I don't know what else to say about my week or my plans. I think that's...
So really no, like, time... I mean, I know no time goal, but, like, do you have a pace you're going to go out at or nah? Or just, I mean, really just see what the day brings and how you feel between now and then, that sort of thing?
I'm just going to take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
I'm going to start in whatever corral I'm assigned. I know I'm in wave 2 for Chicago. There's 2 big waves. They're about half an hour apart. And then inside of each wave, there's a couple different corrals. So I think I'm like in the middle of wave 2 or something like that. So I'm going to start with my wave and just go out on what I think is going to be a comfortable pace. I think I'm going to be a little sluggish at the start if I know how things go for myself. And if I can pick it up a little bit at that point, after a couple miles. But then I'm fully expecting things to catch up with me kind of at the end of the race. I don't know, maybe the middle of the race, depending on how I feel. So, if I really don't feel well, I'll walk, spots that I got to walk. I'm just hoping that's not until the second half of the race. Yeah. I really don't want to be walking at mile 5 or 7 or 8 or 10 or something like that. If I'm walking at 15 because I don't feel good, that's fine. But if I start walking at mile 5, it's going to be a really long, a long day.
Long day. So no plan to, are you going to be running with any pace groups?
I'm going to be running with a lot of pace groups. So I'm assuming, all the pace groups that probably pass me during the race, I'll run with each of those for a couple minutes. I guess I'll try. I don't even know. Excuse me. See, I'm losing my voice. I don't know what pace groups are even in my corral, to be honest. So I'm not going to be looking for a pace group or anything like that. Although if my head's a little foggy, that's not necessarily the worst thing. Just kind of jumping in a pace group and kind of just zombie out and just follow the crowd. But I mean, Chicago's a huge, you know, we're talking 38,000 people. You'll be in a big old pace group for the first 5 miles regardless. So, but yeah, no plans, no paces that I'm shooting for or anything like that. So,
okay.
Yeah, I would have probably had a plan. I'm drinking water here. I'm trying. Except I was going to formulate that plan this week and then I got sick and all these plans go out the window. So, don't even have to bother with trying to get a plan. Makes it super simple for me.
There you go.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Yeah, that's about it. I guess we'll probably, I mean, I'll have you share your week here and then maybe there's some more Chicago stuff I'll think of as we go, but.
Okay.
So what's going on with you and then what's your plan for Chicago?
So I've been doing my runs according to my plan. So I did I think my plan was an 8 mile long run last weekend, did a 9 mile long run, felt okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did a 5 miler the next day, felt fine. So I've done a couple of short 4 milers during the week. So far, so good. Just hoping I don't get sick before Chicago. At this point, I'm like doing the whole bargaining, like, just let me get sick after. If I'm going to get sick, let me get sick after. You know, not that I want to get sick at all, but so I'm kind of just hoping that doesn't happen. If it does, we'll deal with it just like we would any other day, right? So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what's been going on in terms of like training and that sort of thing.
I'm going to interrupt you. I'd crack up. Well, you know, we're flying out on the same plane, obviously sitting next to each other. I'd crack up if I got on the plane and all of a sudden you had reassigned your seat somewhere else on the plane, not even next to me anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Giving you some ideas, yeah, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah, not really much else to say other than, actually, I did have some stomach issues earlier this week. I think I had a bad meal or something. So my stomach has not been too happy, but I'm hoping that's just a temporary isolated, ate something that didn't agree with me sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, of course, like the week before marathon, anything that's going on, you're like, oh, what if, you know, so like any little niggle, any little like stomach upset, any little like sniffle, you're like, oh, what if, you know, so I'm hoping like that won't even be an issue on race day. So, not at the shape that I would want to be coming into Chicago, like ideally, you know, but that's probably quite a few times I could say that, I think. Mm-hmm. So assuming I feel well and everything, I'm going to try to go for under 3:45.
Okay.
I think it's doable. It's not going to be easy by any means. I think I'm kind of right on the cusp of my fitness being close to that, I think, based on long runs and that sort of thing. So that's going to be my goal. Definitely don't have a Boston qualifying time in me right now, but I'd be happy to go under 3:45 and then be able to build on that to maybe a Boston qualifying time next year,
mm-hmm.
hopefully. Under 4 I'd be thrilled with, and of course just finishing the race. So those are kind of my three. I always kind of do like a three step, yeah. So sub 3:45, sub 4, and finish. So, but I'm looking forward to it. You know, we've done this race once before and had a blast. It's just a nice course, lots of crowd support, and just the whole kind of weekend and everything around it is just a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that too, and just a couple of days of just getting away, you know. So yeah, that's pretty much my plan, I guess, for Sunday. So I'm in the first wave. I can't remember exactly what corral I'm in, but I'm in the first wave. So I'll be starting off a little bit ahead of you,
mm-hmm.
which I think was the same thing
last
time.
Year.
So yeah, or
we didn't do that last year.
We didn't 2013
is when we ran the race.
We weren't there last year.
Seems like last year.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it as far as my race as of now. So okay. We'll see how it goes after.
Yeah, so we'll be in Chicago. We're actually going to do, we've already kind of planned out Friday, I guess. We'll be at the expo, hopefully Friday afternoon, evening, probably evening time, maybe 4, 5, 3, I don't know, somewhere in there. So
yeah, right around that time.
Yeah, it's not too often we actually go to, I think, an expo on a Friday, but I think that's kind of the schedule. That way the original plan was to have Saturday to kind of get around town and do whatever we wanted to do and check out and hang out and stuff. And maybe Friday, get some deep dish pizza. Maybe along with Sunday, post-race, get some deep dish pizza. Just throwing it out there.
I'm going to try to avoid the deep dish on before. Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday, no. I'm going to try to avoid that. So Friday, maybe, depending on how my stomach's doing. Mm-hmm. Sunday, post-race, hey, anything goes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, expo probably on Friday, late afternoon, early evening-ish. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm looking forward to the expo because it was a fun, big expo last time.
Yep.
A lot to look at. A lot of merchandise for sale. That's really cool. I'm going to try not to buy stuff. But yeah, just kind of take it all in. And I think the friends we're going with will have a good time checking it out too. So just kind of check everything out there.
All righty. Cool. Nothing else, right, for Chicago before we get into it?
Not that I can think of. We could always mention it later.
Yeah, I think we'll kind of circle around. Let's go ahead and get into some news stories. Let's mention races from this past weekend. R&R San Jose, which is kind of close to us. Ragnar, Michigan. Spartathlon. St. George Marathon, which we did, what, last year?
We were there last year. Yeah, we were there.
That's where we knew we did a marathon, but last year. Wineglass Marathon. And, yeah. I was actually, I'm going to circle back already to Chicago, because the one thing
I knew we would.
Well, the one thing we didn't talk about was the weather. And usually you're the one that's obsessed with the weather, kind of leading up to the
race. Well, I didn't want to mention it myself, because I didn't want to jinx it. But if you mention it, that's different.
Okay, we've done, what, two marathons so far this year?
Yes.
And they were both really, really hot. And we were kind of afraid that the bad luck was going to continue. And right now, the weather looks pretty good for Chicago.
Yep.
So I think Sunday's a high of 60-something, or even low 60s or 60.
I think it's low 60s, yeah.
So basically going to be racing in the 50s, probably around 50 at the start or something like that, maybe mid-50s at the start. So so far, it's looking good. A sunny day, though, according to what the weather says, but a pretty cool day. So so far, we've lucked out. Hopefully, that holds, and we kind of end this streak of really hot and warm marathons. Okay. We'll circle back to Chicago again later.
It may be like in every other thing.
Actually, I think it is. Let's kind of talk about the biggest story from this past week, which is Boston Marathon. Basically, registration is done for 2017, and we have what is, I'll call basically the magic number, which is to get into Chicago. This year, we now know, is a wonderful 2 minutes and 9 seconds. And I guess I'll go ahead and explain that to get into Chicago. Because not everybody.
You mean Boston?
Told you I'm sick here. Bear with me. To get into Boston, basically, I think it's 70 to 80% of people get into Boston with a Boston qualifying time. Then there's a huge chunk of charity spots, and then there's some select corporate spots at the end. But most people get in with a Boston qualifying time, which you have to run in a window prior to the registration, and it's based on your gender and your age, and there's a magic time. And for the last, has it been 4 or 5 years? Just running that qualifying time is not enough. You actually have to beat it by a certain number.
Yeah.
Essentially, like getting the fastest people into the race. So this year's number 209 is basically you had to beat your Boston qualifying time by 2 minutes and 9 seconds. Hopefully that makes some sense.
Yeah.
Kind of setting it up. So, it kind of sucks if you're somebody who ran that, you just beat your time by only a minute or two. You know, obviously if 208 has got to be hugely crushing.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, I kind of, if you would have asked me 2 months ago or 3 months ago, 6 months ago, what my guess would have been, I would have said you probably would have needed like a 130, 150.
That would have been my guess. I would have said less than 2 minutes, but probably more than one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the reaction I read online, a lot of people were kind of expecting it to be closer to one-ish than two-ish. So
I saw that same type of reaction.
Did you? Yeah. Okay. So I was somewhat surprised by that, but yeah. Kind of goes back to, we were talking about what, Santa Rosa Marathon, and their pace group's kind of being, what, 2 minutes faster than...
Right, instead of a 3:45, it's like 3:43.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, assuming those pacers would have come in, you know, 2:09, 2 minutes and a few seconds to be safe, which I'm sure most of them did anyways, the ones that didn't go off course.
Right.
You would have been covered. But yeah, certainly a bummer if you just missed out. But if you got in, I'm sure you're hugely excited and rearing to go, because it's a pretty cool thing to get your qualifier and get into Boston. So I don't know if I'm going to go into... I do have the numbers of like how much people beat their time by, but I'm losing my voice, and I don't know that it's that interesting. I will say that for last year's race, the time was 2:28. 2015 was 1:02. And 2014 was 1:38. So this is not the toughest it's been to get in, but not the easiest either.
Right.
So, all right. Anything else you want to say about Boston?
No.
Okay. Cool.
Or moving on to the other story.
Oh, about Boston.
Yeah.
Okay. Go
ahead. Yeah. So it is about Boston, but a little bit different. So, unfortunately, people who ran the Vancouver Marathon this year and qualified for Boston,
Now, we should say this is the Vancouver USA Marathon.
Thank you.
Not the Vancouver Canada.
Correct. Yeah, good correction. Yes, the Vancouver USA Marathon. Sorry about that. They actually did not, their qualifying times were not considered or accepted as qualifying times for Boston for 2017 due to the course being short. And I, from what I read, it seems like it was just kind of a miss marking at like a turnaround point. Like it was just a little bit shorter than what it should have been. But it ended up being 1,126 feet shorter than the standard marathon distance of 26.2 miles. And I think this is something that was recognized by the race director prior to the Boston qualifying or the Boston registration time. Mm-hmm. So it's not like these runners just found out literally when they submitted their time, you know, this past month. It was something that was noted after the race. And, you know, of course, there was a lot of apologies about that. And, you know, of course, unintentional and, you know, try to do everything to make sure that doesn't happen again, and did submit, you know, information, everything to Boston to try to get those people in for next year, but were not going to be accepted for Boston Marathon for next year. So,
yeah. So situations like this, sometimes what happens is, you know, there's some kind of glitch or a course error, or there's some kind of issue that the, you know, a race's qualifying times aren't exact, some kind of problem. And what's happened a lot in the past is the race director can contact Boston and basically explain the situation, tell them what's going on. A lot of time they can kind of extrapolate times in a situation like this where the course was short. You can kind of extrapolate like, hey, if it was a full course, this person's, you know, you take, I guess, their average pace, their final time would have been this type of thing. And a lot of times Boston will get that information and accept it, and then those people can still get into the race. It sounds like Boston may be getting a little more stricter in these types of situations. I don't know if they just don't want to bother, or it's just there's so many people trying to get into Boston that, you know, maybe they feel the fairest thing to do is just take the people that ran qualifying races that were full distance with no issues, no errors. I don't know. I won't guess, but kind of a bummer for these people that did run what they thought was a qualifying time. And their times were not considered to get into the race. And I'm sure that wasn't the only race in the country that that happened to.
Right. And I think for this particular race, there was 19 people who sought to use that race to gain entry into the Boston Marathon. And it's unknown how many of those individuals had another Boston qualifying time. Mm-hmm. But so it was 19 from the Vancouver UCI
Marathon. Which is a small number,
I guess. It is a small number, yeah.
But a huge issue to those 19 people.
Exactly. So, yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Back to Chicago?
Back to Chicago. All right. Yeah. All right. So big names that are going to be at Chicago. So first, one thing we didn't mention is they actually are having a 5K this year, the day before the marathon. So that's something new.
Which we're not doing.
Right. But something to keep in mind, actually, now that I think about it, when we're navigating the city. So.
Oh, I didn't consider that either.
Yeah. Okay.
And obviously by the fact that we're not doing it, then that obviously must mean that there's no type of challenge medal or bonus thing for doing both, right?
If there was, would you have done it?
Maybe.
I didn't see anything about a challenge, but I can't guarantee that there wasn't one. So, okay. But yeah, so the 5K, John Benoit Samuelson, Constantine Adida, and Dina Castor are some of the notable names that are going to be at the 5K. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll see them around. Yeah. For the marathon itself, Tatiana McFadden is going to be back, defending wheelchair champion. She's going into, what is it, like her third or fourth marathon possible win for this year?
Yeah, this would be number three on the majors, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She was just on, what, Ellen?
She was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a pretty cool little interview, so if anybody wants to watch that. And then as far as elite marathoners, it's actually going to, this year's race is going to feature five past champions. So that's the most returning champions to toe the line in the same race in event history, according to organizers. So the current marathon world record holder in 2013 Chicago champion, Dennis Kimeto of Kenya, 2015 Chicago Marathon champion and fellow Kenyan Florence Kiplagat, joining Kimeto in the men's elite field, 2015 marathon champion, Dixon Chumba, 2012 winner, Tsegaye Kabidi. I don't know if I said that right. You're usually the one that says that name.
Close enough.
Okay. 2008 Olympic bronze medalist Micah Kogo and debut marathoner and 8K world record holder Stephen Sambu. And then racing Kiplagat in the women's elite field are Boston Marathon champion Etsedi Besa and Chicago newcomers Valentine Kipketer and Gulumi Chala. So a lot of fast
big
people.
Names. Yeah. I mean, it's a marathon.
That's kind of what happens, I think, with majors anyways. Yeah. So
it's interesting because we're running the race, or any marathons that we run the race, I pay the least amount of attention to the elites because obviously I can't go online and watch it.
Well, and plus you're kind of worried about your own race too versus Boston's this weekend. Let's see who's running, or New York, or, right, you know. But
so I might pay attention if they happen to be at the expo or on a schedule there or something.
Yeah.
But them actually racing, I pay zero attention to. Yeah. I mean, I'll check the results afterwards, but that'll be it.
That's pretty funny.
I could, you know, I'm sick, right? Maybe I'll walk a bunch. I could just bust out my phone and just watch the elites live, right?
You could.
It's gotta be online.
Just let everybody around you know what's going on. Hey,
give like a live play by play as I walk.
What's going on? This is what's going on. So and so just changed out their hat. Just kidding.
All right.
All right. Moving on to some records.
Other fast people.
Yeah. Other fast people. So some other things that have been happening in the last week or so in the running world. Some other records. One that's really been talked about in just the last couple of days because it just happened this week. Jim Walmsley, whose name might sound familiar from when we talked about Western States earlier this year. He actually, everybody's saying he crushed it, which I agree. The Grand Canyon rim-to-rim-to-rim running record. So he actually ran, it's 42 miles round trip. He ran it in 5 hours, 55 minutes, and 20 seconds. Let's see if I can beat him at my marathon this weekend. So he did that just a couple days ago on the 4th. So the previous fastest known time or FKT or rim-to-rim-to-rim running record at the Grand Canyon was previously set by Rob Krar. Looking at the time here and see how much he beat him by. But for some reason, it's escaping my notes. Oh, he ran. Rob Krar had previously set 6:21:47 in 2013. So Jim ran it in 5:55:20.
It's a pretty good chunk off of the record.
Yep. So he averaged an 8:27 per mile pace over a trail route that includes more than 22,000 feet of vertical change, mm-hmm. including a 5,000 foot ascent over the final 7 miles to finish at the South Rim. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Makes for a nice little hike, but I don't necessarily want to go running up and down.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome.
Other records.
The other one we've been hearing about quite a bit is Carl Meltzer, who set another FKT or set an FKT for the Appalachian Trail, which we talked about, just about a year ago or so, when Scott Jurek had set the record. So Carl Meltzer now holds the new record of 45 days, 22 hours, and 38 minutes, breaking Scott Jurek's record by about 10 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Third attempt at the
yes
Appalachian Trail mm-hmm. speed record. So finally.
Third time's a charm, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 45 days. Wow. That's a long time.
Okay. Anything else on that one?
Nope. That's it on that one.
There's one other story I was going to mention, but maybe I'll table it for next week when I can actually continue to talk about it for a while. Other than that, is that all we're going to do for news today?
That's it.
Okay. Good. Because my voice is trailing
I think you're
off
almost done, I think. So, yeah, just before we move on to feedback, just want to, again, mention some good luck to some people we mentioned last week because we weren't sure if we're going to be able to release this one this week, but Emmanuel at the R&R Brooklyn Half and Patricia at the Long Beach Half. So, and then Arthur at the Steamtown Marathon.
Good luck. Have fun. Let's get to some feedback.
Message received.
So we heard from Brad, who was commenting on the feedback we had last time about the man who had run over 1,000 miles a year for 40 years, he said, very inspiring, which we completely agree. That was pretty awesome to share. He said he's also been lucky to see a lot of animals on his runs. This summer, he ran across a big snapping turtle with seaweed on its back crossing the road. So he shared a picture of that with us. He said it hissed at him when he took a picture. He also came across a rooster at his favorite county park. Not really sure how he got there, but he was well fed by the picnic goers. And he kept telling himself that when he went back, he went back to the farm since he disappeared. Aww.
Yeah, I did really like the pictures, though.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. He also wanted to say that Embrace Running was the first running podcast he found. And as he said before, he's listened to them all. That's awesome. I don't know how many people can say that.
Which I'll do my normal thing that I always do and just say sorry.
He gets excited when the new episodes drop and he can't wait to listen. He understands that we have lives and appreciates all the time we spend to put the podcast out. We're still his favorite podcast by far. Thank you for the feedback. We really appreciate that.
Yeah. And thanks for listening to all them all.
Exactly. Exactly. Heard from Erin. She said she's been a sporadic runner for many years, and we've inspired her to register for the San Jose Rock and Roll Half, which was this past weekend. However, she fell at her daughter's elementary school and messed up her knee, sidelining her for a few weeks.
Bummer.
She said, mental note, if you ever have to go to a back-to-school night, no high heels. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my general rule of thumb is just no high heels.
Well, at least, for me, definitely not the week before a race.
Right. So since San Jose is out, she's moving on to start training for the Disney Princess Half in February. She was wondering what our opinion was about base building before training for a specific event. She's come across a lot of conflicting information about what it is, how to develop a solid base, how much is needed, etc. Just kind of wondering what we think. Did you have anything that you definitely want to say about that? Okay. So I did some little research. I mean, you hear about like base building and having a base a lot, and kind of, you know, looked through some of the running books that we have by Jack Daniels and all of that, and, you know, some online sources. And it seems like there is a lot of conflicting information. Like, the general thing is it's good to have a base built before you start training for a race, especially if it's a little bit longer distance, like a half marathon, marathon beyond. And in general, it seems like 12 to 16 weeks is a generally accepted time to be building a base. But nothing else is pretty standard, like, other than the, you know, your midweek runs should be generally easy, nothing, no speed work or anything during your base building phase. And you should have a longer weekend run, but that's like left open to interpretation in terms of what is a longer weekend run. Is that 6 miles if you're running three during the week? Is that 10 miles? It doesn't, you know, really specify. So I also found it to be a little confusing and conflicting. Now, as far as like what we've done in the past, I think I've done base building, but not in a structured way in any way, just because I've been running for several years, you know? So in a way, I think I've built my base, but not in this structured, like, okay, I'm going to build for 16 weeks or 12 weeks and then start my training plan for Chicago, for an example.
Yeah, so your base is years long.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't really, unfortunately, have a lot of helpful information in terms of like the specifics. But I think if you are running now, with the exception of the injury, but hoping you can get back to it. If you're running now and you're planning on, you know, a half in February, I think it sounds like you'll probably have a good amount of time to base build and then head right into your training plan. That's mm-hmm. my personal opinion. So,
yeah, when you see, whether it's online or in articles and headlines and lists, you know, that we talk about so much in running, I think where the term base building comes into the most frequent is just the concept of actually, if you're going to go run your first marathon, don't go from the couch and then 16 weeks later be running your marathon. Basically, the recommendation, you know, it's that old thing, you know, before you run your first marathon, you know, do a year of running before you actually begin even training for your first marathon. I think that's where a lot of the typical articles and, you know, early runner type stuff comes to, at least in regards to full marathons, is that, hey, you should be running for a year before you begin your specific training for the race. So I think that's where a lot of the common base building, you know, topic comes from a lot of times when running online. But in terms of specifics, you did a better job kind of talking about it than I did.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's somewhat helpful. So one of the other questions she had was about running in the heat. She lives in the Bay Area. She says it's been pretty hot the past few days, which at the time it had been, mm-hmm. Even out here. She works nights, so she can only run in the day, usually somewhere between 9:30 and 2. So she's just wondering how we handle heat while training. And I mean, one of the things I mentioned to her is...
Don't run. No.
one of the things I mentioned is that we actually, I mean, most of the times, well, at least for long runs, we have the opportunity to be able to run earlier in the morning, which doesn't sound like she has that chance to do. Mm-hmm. But obviously getting out there earlier, if it's going to be hotter, you know, we've talked about that before. With that in mind, that she has a pretty structured time in terms of when she can run, you know, just kind of went over some thoughts in terms of keeping cool, you know, making sure you're hydrated, get your electrolytes in, you know, having cooling clothing. I've taken a buffer, you know, something similar before and been able to soak it, you know, like in cool water during my run to try to cool off and evaporate, some of the heat, but then also just keeping in mind that if you're running in hotter weather, your pace is just going to be slower. And that's just what it is. It's just, that's what it's going to be, you know, cause you're just, your effort is harder. So, you know, compared to any other given day, you know, that's 10, 15, 20 degrees cooler. So, but I think if that's the time that you have to train, that's the time that you have to train, you know, and you just make the best you can out of it. So,
I mean, the one thing I would say is, because she's in Northern California, we have the fortunate luck that in Northern California, it, you know, we definitely get our little hot times and our hot days, and they don't last very long. And so a lot of times I think you can kind of move around plans and move around schedules, not necessarily time of day, but maybe how many miles you're supposed to run on this day versus this day. And you
that's
can kind of shift stuff around, yeah, to kind of run less on the hotter day. And I don't think it's a big deal if you have to skip a day because it's going to be really hot.
Right. And because you want to be safe too.
Yeah. Because it's, you know, Northern California and, you know, it gets hot, but, you know, a couple days later it cools off. I think a lot of times you can just kind of work things around. I know I spent a lot of times in the summer trying to decide whether to do a long run on Saturday or Sunday. And a lot of times that's just decided by which day is hotter, and I yeah. will run the other one. So
right. I mean, and the other thing too, going into, I mean, now it's October, and even though we do have a couple of hot days on the forecast here in our area, for the most part, you know, it's going to be getting cooler. So hopefully this won't be much of an issue for much longer for her. And then we did cover tips for running in the heat a few years ago, if you want to go back and listen on episode 69. So,
okay.
Yeah.
A hat doused in water is my favorite way to stay cool. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah. I like having ice underneath my hat. But I don't generally.
In training, that's a little.
Yeah, I was like, I don't carry that in training. That's really just race.
And there's no random people out there handing out ice on your training.
I haven't seen them yet.
No.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess I could try to run into like some fast food place and grab some ice. I don't know.
You could actually do that.
Like, I just want like one cube. That's really all I need.
Nobody's
going
to care or say
cubes.
Anything. That's actually not
sure
a bad idea.
I'm sure somebody's going to care.
That's not a bad
idea. If anybody's
idea,
tried that, let me know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if anybody's willing. All right. So we heard from Kimberly. It's great to hear our latest podcast that even though we haven't been recording as much lately, she still has old episodes she's making her way through. Because of that, she can actually tell me that I have run in New Balance shoes before. We were talking about that last
That's
time
right.
with the Strava.
You got caught.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So thanks. I thought that was hilarious. So I didn't even know that. She's currently going through the 2013 podcast and she listened to episode 64 where I talked about trying out some New Balance shoes at a Fleet Feet group run and I liked them. So thanks for the tip.
It's kind of funny. You ended up liking them, but you didn't even remember trying them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's very few shoes, though, that I've actually run in that I didn't like, at least as far as like at group runs or that sort of thing. There's only one particular brand that I remember that I definitely didn't like because I had knee pain afterwards and that was it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think through mine.
I mean, there's some that I like more than others, but there haven't been any that I can actually think of where I was like, oh my gosh, no, I'm not going to wear those.
Like it's just, I just remember one, which were, I think, Mizuno Wave Sayonara's, which I said, I ran at them at a group run, and I said, there's no way I can run in these, but they're super comfortable to walk around.
Yeah.
And because we ended up actually getting free shoes at that day.
Right.
I still have them.
Mm-hmm.
I take them camping all the time because they're super comfortable to walk around, but running in them, way too much pounding for me. But
yeah,
that's the only one I really remember. So.
But you still like them, just not necessarily to run in.
Yeah.
Yeah. She also thought it was interesting to hear our take on the pace groups at Santa Rosa Marathon, which we alluded to earlier. To qualify, she had to beat 3:55, so her plan was actually to run with a 3:50 pacer and hopefully give herself a 5-minute cushion, which would have been enough for Boston. But she said when she got to the expo, she went to the pace tent and required about a 3:50 pacer, and that's when she was told there was either a 3:53 or a 3:43, but not a 3:50. So that kind of threw her for a loop, because she just assumed she's going to be running with a 3:50 pacer, but she's glad that she found out ahead of time at the expo instead of like lining up on race day. So it kind of gave her a chance to figure out what she wanted to do. So bottom line though, she did make it into Boston. So
Yay.
That's awesome. So she'll be there next year. She was able to register with the second group actually during week one. So, and now she said she thinks the crazy might be in her thinking that she might enter the lottery for Boston to Big Sur, which I think that opened up on October 1st. So I'm curious to hear if you actually did enter that. She had another runner had said to her casually, you should do Boston to Big Sur. And then she remembered listening to our podcast when I did Boston to Big Sur last year. And you ran the 21 miler that year, I think it was, at Big Sur. So she finds it helpful to hear our race recaps, especially when she's thinking about doing some of the races. She said our runner crazy is wearing off on her as she contemplates 2 marathons in 13 days now when she's only ever run 2 marathons her whole life. So I say go for it.
Yeah, Boston to Big Sur is cool, mainly because it's 2 really cool races separately.
Yep.
And yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It was a little rough and actually interesting that you mentioned 2 marathons in 13 days. So I wonder if the date is a little different next year because when I ran it, it was
it's a week.
6 days apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that second race was a little rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little rough, but it was definitely fun and I would do it again. So heard from Steve who just finished episode 205. He said he hasn't heard 206 yet. Wait, we're on 206, right?
I don't know.
We're on 207. Oh, okay. I'm like, wait a minute. Would you have heard 206? Okay, so confusing. Anyways, he said maybe somebody already commented, but when we were talking about Galen Rupp swapping hats during the Olympic marathon, we were tossing out thoughts about why he might have done that. Steve says his understanding, based on things he's read and heard, is that each one of those hats had an ice pack inside of it. Mm-hmm. So he can't verify, of course, but he said he's heard that from more than one source. So
okay.
That would make sense. Yeah, you'd probably like that.
Yes.
Be able to swap out your hats with ice packs in them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like your ideal situation.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about that. That'd be perfect. Exactly. Can somebody do that for me at my next... I don't need it at Chicago because it's cool, but maybe the next hot one.
Right, right. Heard from Bradley, who just found $20 on a run, which brings his professional total to $21.
Which is a huge raise.
That's a huge amount. Yeah, that's awesome. I still haven't found any money on a run.
You haven't found money. I found money once, and I've... lots of people are finding it more than once, and yeah. I haven't gotten paid again yet. Yeah, so
I haven't found any money. So, maybe Sunday. Then heard from Romana. Just thinking for a suggestion on the 30 hours video that we mentioned last time. Said it was great motivation and wishing us good luck for Chicago.
Thank you. Hopefully, we'll see. All right, I guess that's going to wrap it up for today. Anything else you want to throw in there?
No, I didn't think about any other Chicago stuff to add in there. So. But if anybody's going to be around, let us know.
Yeah. We'll talk about, we did get a look at what the medal and the shirt is going to be, but we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping not to see the medal yet.
Okay.
And it just happened accidentally because it was everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. The shirt, I don't really care about either way, whether I see it beforehand or not, but the medal, sometimes I like to not see it ahead of time, but anyways.
All right. I guess that's going to wrap it up today. Apologies on my voice. I'm sure it sounded horrible. Best I could do. Like I said, we'll be back next week with a full recap of the Chicago Marathon. And I'm sure we'll probably be posting some pictures to social media over the weekend from the expo and the race. And I don't know what else that we're doing. So you're Elena on the Run on Instagram.
And Twitter.
And I'm Mark's Running on both Instagram and Twitter.
And then we have Embrace Running on
wherever, everywhere.
Yep, everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll try to post some stuff on all of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for this week.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.